Well, greetings, radio friends. This is Casey Walker again,
inviting you to study the Bible for the next few moments. I trust this lesson that I have in mind will be a blessing to each and every one.
I came to Jesus long ago, laden down with sin. I sought Him long for pardon and grace. He would not take me in.
Trust this lesson that I have in mind will be a blessing to each and every one. The lesson is entitled The Kingdom of God versus Paganism. The Kingdom of God versus Paganism. We will look into the establishment of the Kingdom of God and its effect upon the religion of Judaism and finally the religions of paganism throughout the Roman world. This will help us to realize the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ that He sent forth through the power of the Holy Spirit in the early church. And it is the message that you and I are supposed to be representing today as we proclaim the message of Christ to a lost and a dying world. Now this message can be had for the asking. We'll be happy to send you a copy of this message entitled The Kingdom of God versus Paganism. All you have to do is to write to me. It'll be sent to you absolutely free at K.C. Walker, Mentone, Alabama. So you be sure and send for this lesson. We'll be happy to see that you get it absolutely free. Now for our lesson, The Kingdom of God versus Paganism. Christianity was born in the midst of a divided Judaism and a sick paganism. For 600 years, God's people had been subjected to pagan influences, the result of the captivity of Israel to foreign powers. All this having been foretold by the Almighty, leading to the fulfillment of man's long-awaited deliverance by the coming of the Messiah. Although Israel was looking for the coming of the Messiah, they were not prepared to accept Him due to the mistaken concept of His mission and the work in God's plan of redemption. To prepare Israel for the Messiah's appearance, John the Baptist was sent to prepare the people and to signal the time of his arrival. His message was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew 3, verse 2. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand" was also the message of Jesus Christ in Matthew 4, verse 17. The teaching of Jesus was done largely by parables. Many of them had to do with the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God. After the resurrection of Jesus, he was with the disciples for 40 days, the Bible says, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, Acts 1, verse 3. Following the conversion of the Apostle Paul, the kingdom message stands out in his missionary work. When in Rome as a prisoner, the records tell us, "To whom he expounded the kingdom of God, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him." Acts chapter 28, verse 23 and verse 31. With the message of Jesus concerning the kingdom of God, something meets its fulfillment in the far distant future. In other words, what did the message of Jesus Christ actually pertain to? Was it something to be fulfilled in the far distant future? Or was it something to meet its fulfillment at the time that he was here? When did John and Jesus mean, or what did they mean? When they stayed, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Let us notice that the kingdom of God actually existed when Jesus was here. We find that God has always had a kingdom and always will have a kingdom. He said of it in relation to Israel, "The kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruit thereof." That's Matthew chapter 21, verse 43. It could not be taken from them had it not existed in or among them. No doubt God established his presence in Israel as a nation or a kingdom when he made the old covenant with them, when he brought them out of the land of Egypt and made a holy people of Israel by establishing a kingdom of priests, as stated in Exodus chapter 19, verse 4 through 7. He manifested himself with and in Israel until the Messiah came and completed the plan of redemption in Israel, even though most of them, that is, Israel, rejected him. The fact that Jesus and the Apostle Paul make the kingdom of God the foundation of their message after the resurrection, Jesus tells us that the kingdom had a greater meaning at that time than we have heretofore given credit. Notice with me that Jesus set in motion a force of judgment. Jesus speaks of the church on this wise in Matthew 16, quote, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Of the kingdom of God he tells us, "And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall it will grind him to powder." Matthew 21, verse 44. Of judgment Jesus said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. That this judgment of the world involves a church, Jesus said of the coming of the Holy Spirit on the believers, "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment." John 16, verse 8. Jesus did not come and call a people out of religious confusion and out of sin just to suffer for his kingdom for naught. He promised to be with them unto the ends of the earth, Matthew 28, 18. It was in God's plan to end Judaism and also paganism, to challenge all societies of a carnal nature and give full manifestation to his authority in his kingdom to the end of the earth. This he did, as we shall see. Judgment began with Israel. Notice with me. John said of Jesus' ministry, "He will thoroughly purge his floor, gather his wheat into the garner, but burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Matthew chapter 3 and in verse 12. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Jesus had pronounced judgment on that generation, as Peter well knew. He said, "Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come on this generation." Matthew 23:36. This judgment spoken of by our Lord involved the destruction of the city of Jerusalem, the temple burned with fire, untold suffering to the Jewish people. It happened in that generation. Peter said, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God." Of course, that would be the church. "And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be to them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear?" 1 Peter 4:17-18. It began on Israel. What about the rest of humanity? Asked the Apostle Peter. "Well, the great commission to all the world, notice with me, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world for witness to all nations, and then shall the end come." Matthew 24:14. It was the ministry of Christ and 12 apostles to carry the message of the gospel to Israel. This they did. How about the rest of the world? Well, to Ananias, the Lord said of Paul, "For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Acts 9:15. The development of God's plan to carry the gospel message to all nations is on schedule in the calling of the Apostle Paul to spearhead the prayer of the gospel to the Gentile world. He had unconsciously prepared himself for his appearance before the kings of the earth, including the Caesars. He was well educated for his time, as well as a knowledge of the scriptures. When the Holy Spirit took over his life, he could relate to the scriptures and fully understand the divine plan of God. He was without excuse before the Lord, and he knew it. So to Rome he went. God gave a special witness to the past rulers of the Gentile kingdoms before finally letting them be destroyed. Daniel before Nebuchadnezzar was an example. Now it is time to execute judgment on the Roman world. He was a true witness of the message, that is, the Apostle Paul. He was a true witness of the message of the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the kingdom of God, before the Roman authorities. From the pages of ancient history by Webster Hutton, page 447, we find these words. He said, "Emperor worship spread rapidly over the ancient world and helped to unite all classes and allegiance to the new government. It provided a universal religion for a universal empire. Yet just at the time when this new cult was taking root, and in the midst of a happy reign of Augustus, there was born in Bethlehem of Judea the Christ, whose religion was to overcome the worship of the emperor and all other faiths of pagan antiquity." End quote. God had foretold the end of the tabernacle service and that of Judaism, and it culminated by a war and desolation, as recorded in Daniel 9:24-27. He also foretold the end of the centralized pagan system by the same prophet. The Apostle Paul understood the broad view of God's divine plan, thus embarked on the mission of evangelizing the Gentile world. We find again from M. Blackburn, professor of church history, we quote, "Paul took the broad view that Christianity must reach out far beyond Judaism and finally remove paganism and bring the creation into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Paul was qualified to be the eminent leader of that host of missionaries who should preach the gospel to the pagan nations until they all were gathered in to the kingdom of Christ. He must meet and vanquish paganism on its soil and lay down the future conquest. The career of no other mere man has produced such lasting effect upon the history of the world." This same historian tells us that Paul apparently was not in the city of Rome when the Emperor Nero burned the city and accused the Christians of the same. Many Christians lost their life in every conceivable way at the hands of this tyrant. Nero, in an effort to stamp out Christianity, failed. Immediately following this outbreak of Christianity, opposed to Christianity, the Jews at Jerusalem rebelled against the Roman authority. Thus, the fullness of judgment fell upon the city by the Roman army. The effect of this tragedy pretty well ended the Jewish leadership and the Christian church. Thus, Gentile converts took the leadership, and Christianity began to take on pagan ideas. Now, we're giving you a lesson showing that the religion of Jesus Christ, the gospel that he gave to us, in reality come to represent the establishment of God's kingdom, because the kingdom of God simply means the spiritual sovereignty of God. And we're showing how that Judaism came to an end as a result of this power that God established in the message that Jesus gave. And in turn, as it went to the pagan world, that the pagan world also was to come to an end. Now we're going to find, as history now is telling us, that the influence of Christianity challenged paganism and eventually caused the breaking up of the Roman Empire. Did you know you, as a Christian, represent such power that you can challenge all human societies around you? Well, you can do that, because God has assured, I'll be with you even to the end of the world. But you must become a genuine Christian in order to have that power and assurance that God is with you. Be happy to send you copies of this message, The Kingdom of God versus Paganism. So until our next broadcast, may God bless you, is my prayer.